Well, good morning as we think about whether you can see me and hear me. I would encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We will begin in Ephesians chapter 4 in just a moment. I'm going to talk about hope this morning instead of the lesson that I had planned to do. There are obviously a lot of scriptures about hope. I'm not going to use all of them, but I am going to use a number of them. And the point of my lesson this morning is really just to encourage us to think about hope from a heavenly perspective, from a biblical perspective, and to think about hope within the context of drawing near to God with a sincere heart. So I decided to talk about hope this morning, because we continue to be separated from each other. The pandemic has served to keep us apart since last March, and I prefer the snow keeping us apart than the pandemic, but I prefer that, you know, we're all together. It occurs to me that one of the things that the pandemic has done the world over is it has brought people together. It has united people together in hope. So last March, the first guidelines that we received were within the context of 15 days to slow the spread. So around March 15th of last year, we were all united in hope that this was going to be over in 15 days. And as we saw over the course of March and April and May, that was a false hope. And so now we are almost a year into this, and now we are united in hope that the vaccines will make a difference, and that inevitably and hopefully the pandemic will end, or it will subside to the point that we can be together again. So I want us to think about hope this morning, not in the context of the pandemic, but in the context of what God has said to us about the subject. And I think the reason I draw your attention to Ephesians 4 to begin is because hope is one of the seven ones of Ephesians 4. And this is a pretty heavy list. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So just for a few minutes this morning, I want to define hope. I want to talk for a moment about what hope describes. I want us to think about the role of hope in our daily lives. I want to talk about hopelessness for a moment, and then I want to conclude by thinking about the role of hope within our theme of drawing near to God. I do have slides for this lesson. I decided to keep it simple this morning, so we're not using those, but I will email them out to you. So as we think about the definition of hope, hope by definition is favorable or confident expectation. Favorable or confident expectation. And hope in the scriptures has to do with the unseen, and it has to do with the future. When the word hope is used as a verb, it means to trust. So as we think about all the scriptures that God has given us that use the word hope, that describes favorable and confident expectation and trusting in God, in hope. In Titus chapter 1 and in verse 2, we have a reference to the hope of eternal life. And so last year, as we considered life in Christ, we spent the end of the year talking about the hope that we have in eternal life. We have the happy anticipation of good throughout eternity. When our life on earth is no more, that is not the end of our story. Jesus has promised us to give us the gift of eternal life. And so in time, we have this happy anticipation of good, the hope of eternal life. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, a verse I draw your attention to now and that we will circle back to at the conclusion of our thoughts this morning, the ground upon which our hope is based is Jesus himself, the person and the work of Jesus. And the Colossians passage, chapter 1, verse 27, speaks to the intimacy of our relationship with Jesus, the intimacy of the hope that we have in him, Christ in you, the hope, the favorable and confident expectation of glory. I had planned this morning to talk about the person of Jesus in the context of our theme and in the context of everything that we've been talking about of late, learning to think spiritually and thinking about life and our birth and life and death. And so, Lord willing, we will turn our attention to the person of Jesus next week as he informs us concerning God and ourselves and other people. The ground on which our hope is based is the person and the work of Jesus. And according to 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, he is also the object upon which our hope is fixed. Jesus is the object upon which our hope is fixed. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. And so as we think about that description of Jesus in 1 Timothy 1, 1, I think about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, how we are to look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or other translations say we are to fix our minds upon Jesus. He is the object upon which our hope is fixed. So those are, you know, three of the things that hope describes: the happy anticipation of good, the ground upon which our hope is based, the object upon which our hope is fixed. But hope works for us daily. As we think about drawing near to God in Romans, the 15th chapter and in verse 13, God is spoken of as the God of hope. He is the author of hope. And as we think about drawing near to him with a sincere heart, we are drawing near to the God who is full of favorable and confident expectation, who sees the unseen before it is seen, who is the great I am, who inhabits eternity. And the more we learn about the God of hope, then the more we can trust in him. Romans chapter 8 is a text that I've been encouraging all of us to think about from the beginning of the pandemic until now. I would encourage you again to spend some time in Romans, the 8th chapter, and you will see hope all throughout Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for example, hope is a factor in our salvation. And so when we think about people in the scriptures who found Jesus, who found salvation, who were in Christ, who were living their lives in Christ, and we consider why they stopped walking with the Lord or why they fell away, oftentimes the case is that people lose hope. And when people lose hope, then they begin to lose their salvation. They begin to create distance between themselves and the God of hope. And they begin creating that distance, that separation through sin. So the God of hope would have us to experience salvation in him. And he would have us to understand that it's through many tribulations that we will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we have a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, for example, that communicates that when we find ourselves in these times of pressure, of trial, of suffering or tribulation, that we need patience. We need the patience of hope. And the church in Thessalonica was commended for that. Paul and Silas and Timothy, as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit, writing to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, they were remembering without ceasing their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So hope finds its expression in endurance under trial, which is the effect of waiting for the coming of Jesus. As Gene did a good job taking us through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians last year, and as we considered along with him and with one another, all the information that the Thessalonians were giving about the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus has not yet occurred. It is, as we view it, where we stand today, as they viewed it, where they stood, it is unseen and in the future. And so we need that patience of hope. We need to endure in hope until Jesus comes. And so in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, we have a very familiar text about hope, a very precious text about hope, a text that ought to be very meaningful to us for such a time as this. Hope is described in Hebrews 6 as an anchor for the soul. And our hope, it stays us in the midst of the storms of this life. And the blessing of this Hebrews passage is communicating the fact that our hope is already in our inheritance. Our hope is already in heaven itself, because that is where our Savior has gone. He is our forerunner, and he has entered into heaven itself, even Jesus. He is our great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. He is our one mediator who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And our hope in him, in his person and in his work, is like an anchor. It stays us as we experience the storms of this life. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Hold fast to Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will save us in his time. As we think about the role of hope in our daily lives, in 1 John 3, verse 3, I would encourage you to think about the fact that hope has a purifying power. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then verse 3. Now everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Lost hope will inevitably result in godless living. But hope in the person and the work of Jesus will encourage us on a daily basis to conform to his image. Hope on a daily basis will encourage us to be pure just as he is pure, to purify ourselves of sin, of sinful thoughts, of sinful speech, of sinful behaviors. The hope that we have is that we are going to experience eternal life, that we are going to be like Jesus in heaven itself as we conform to the image of Jesus in time, that when we experience the transition from time to eternity, that we are going to be blessed with a body like unto his, that this corruptible will put off incorruption, and we will have a body like Jesus's fit for our eternal dwelling place. That is the hope that we have, and we ought to allow that hope to encourage us to purify ourselves in time, just as Jesus is in time. So as we think about hopelessness for just a moment, I draw your attention to that because there are people throughout the pandemic that have lost hope. And one of the awful, you know, things that the pandemic has done to some is it has driven them to take their lives. the isolation that we are all experiencing is not good for any of us. But for some, it's absolutely got the best of them. For others, they recognize the truth of Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 12. And because of their sense of hopelessness, they have chosen to take their lives. And that grieves me to no end. I would suspect that that's true of all of us. For those of us who have this hope in Jesus, for those who have this happy anticipation of good, when we think about the ground of our faith, the object on which our hope is fixed, when we think about the role of hope in our daily lives, when we consider people who find themselves in the category of Ephesians 2, verse 12, who have no hope and they are without God in the world, that ought to encourage us and motivate us and prompt us to be about the business of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the midst of such a time as this, there is opportunity to share Jesus. There is opportunity to communicate to people who do not have God in the world that the experience that they are having, that the world is a dangerous place to be without God, is the right experience. None of us want to be in the world on a good day without God. But in the world in which we live right now, in the midst of this global pandemic and all of the societal unrest, not just only in our country, but around the world, when we think about what a mess the world is, we do not want to be without God in the world. And so against the backdrop of life and death and eternity, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 would speak of those who have no hope. And the contrast that's being made there is between those of us who do have hope in Jesus and those who are in the world without God. And to be in the world without God is to be without Jesus. It's to be without the Holy Spirit. And so as we think about folks who are in the world without God and what we can do to be a blessing to them, there are a number of passages that come to mind, but the one I want to draw your attention to is in Acts, the 23rd chapter, and in verse 6. And as we have opportunity to talk to people who are in the world without God, who have no hope and are without God in the world, I want to encourage all of us to talk about Jesus, to talk about his person, to talk about his work, to talk about who he is and what he did and why he did it. And when you look at the book of Acts, this is what the disciples of Jesus did from Acts 2 through Acts 28. As they had opportunity, they talked about Jesus. They preached Jesus. They talked about Christ and him crucified. And they talked about the resurrection. And they talked about the fact that the resurrection gives us hope in life. That the resurrection of Jesus communicates that he is the firstborn of the resurrection, that it is God's will that there would be others that would follow him. And so in Acts 23, verse 6, when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." We as the people of God, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we are going to be judged in time by our generation. There are people in our generation who do not believe in God, who do not believe the truth about Jesus, who do not believe the truth about the Bible, the Word of God. And I want to encourage all of us that as we live our lives in this world, and as we know with a certainty that we are going to be judged, let us be judged concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead. Let us be judged concerning our witness and our confession of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let us be about the business of exalting the one who has promised us eternal life, who is the ground on which our hope is based, who is the object upon which our hope is fixed. Let us proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the context of people being in the world and having no hope, so that they can find God, find Jesus, and be filled to the fullness of overflowing of the one who is described as Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to draw your attention to two other passages. As we think about hope this morning in the context of our theme, I would encourage you to turn to another familiar verse, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. So why are we considering the theme, draw near to God with a sincere heart, in the context of reading the Old Testament? Why are we reading Genesis through the life of David this year as we think about this theme? Well, one of the reasons that we're doing that is because of the truth of Romans 15, verse 4. So what we have in verse 3 is a point that's made about Jesus. And in Romans 15, verse 3, we have a quotation from Psalm 69, verse 9. And then immediately following this point about the Christ and this prophecy concerning the Christ, we have this instruction. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. One of the purposes of the scriptures, and specifically the Old Testament from Genesis through Malachi and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, one of the purposes of the scriptures is to help us to see that from the beginning, there have been people who have sought to draw near to God. And if they had a sincere heart, then they found him. They didn't just find him, but they drew near to him in such a way that they had an individual personal relationship with God. When you read along with me the first 22 chapters of the book of Genesis, and you see the progression of growth in the life of Abram. Here is an imperfect, flawed, you know, sinful man who didn't trust in God to deliver him on two different occasions. And so he told a half truth. He lied about who Sarah was in relation to him because he feared for his life and for her life and for his family's life. And so, you know, when we look at him in those situations, we understand why he did that. He was afraid. He was scared. He, you know, just wasn't sure what was going to happen. And so he lied. And who among us has not, you know, had that same sort of experience? And so when we look at those two accounts where Abraham is clearly presented to us as a sinner in need of God's grace, what we see is ourselves. We too, like Abraham, fall short of the glory of God. And then we come to chapter 22. And what do we see in the life of this man, Abram, who's no longer called Abram? He's called Abraham now. He goes from this exalted father to this father of a multitude. And as we watch his life, what do we see? We see a man who grew in the grace and knowledge of our God. And in chapter 22, what we see Abraham do concerning his faith is he levels up. This is not the same man that we read about in previous chapters who told those half-truths about Sarah. This is a man who has increased in his conviction, who has increased in his trust, who has increased in his surrender of his will. And the good news, beloved, Romans 15, verse 4, is that you and me and each of us can level up. We can grow in his grace we can grow in his knowledge. We can grow to the degree that our father Abraham grew, that when we are tested by the Lord, we can pass the test in such a way that brings him glory and honor. And all the while, it will result in our being blessed by him. Read the scriptures with me this year. Read the scriptures with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, have hope. Colossians 1 verse 27, as we conclude, this glory that is described as the hope of glory, this glory of Colossians 1 27 is that which we will wear in our perfected heavenly state when we fully reflect the glory that we now behold in God through Jesus, the hope of glory in Christ. As we compare this passage to Philippians 3, 20 and 21 and 1 John 3, 1 through 3 and 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to share in Jesus's glory, his high priestly prayer in John 17, the beauty of the adoption imagery that we're not just becoming heirs of God in Christ through the Spirit, but we are becoming joint heirs, Romans chapter 8, with Jesus. We are going to share in the glory of God throughout of eternity. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in Jesus. He will come again and he will perfect us. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. The last passage that we'll consider this morning as we think about hope and encourage each other to continue to think about hope on this day and throughout all the days that God blesses us with is 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And if you're a part of our worship this morning and you're not a Christian, if you're a part of our worship this morning and you recognize that you are in the world and you are without God and you have no hope, believe me when I tell you that we can help you with that. We can help you to draw near to God with a sincere heart. We can help you to find Jesus. We can help you to be in relationship with God. We can help you to experience the hope that we have, that we share. So reach out to one of us if we can help you personally to draw near to God through Jesus. We would love to have that opportunity. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to encourage all of us to consider what we have in Christ. And if you don't have this, I want you to be encouraged this morning that this too can be yours. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, according to his abundant mercy, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have, because of the grace of our God and Father, because of the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have been begotten again. We have been born again. We have experienced a new birth. We have been born of the water and the Spirit, and we have been born again to a living hope. And the reason that our hope is living is because Jesus himself is living. This morning, we affirm in full assurance of faith that Jesus rose from the dead, that on the third day that he really lived in the flesh, that he really died, that when Pilate was surprised that he had died already, that Pilate believed that Jesus died, that the Roman soldiers at Calvary, they believed that Jesus died, and they believed that he died because he died. They buried him because he died. On the third day, Jesus arose. He experienced resurrection as the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first to experience resurrection, to die no more. And some 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, where he ever lives. And our hope is like an anchor that has been cast into heaven itself. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. We have been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I believe that in full assurance of faith, and I would encourage you to believe that as well. Our faith in God at such a time as this, it begins with the person and the work of Jesus. It results in spiritual blessings that we can't even believe or begin to comprehend this side of heaven, because God is so good to us now, and we cannot even begin to imagine what it's going to be like to draw near him with a glorified heart. And so read the scriptures, see Jesus, and if we can help you to experience the new birth, call on us at any time. For those of us who are in Christ, don't lose hope. There are things in life that happen, and we are hopeful that they will come to a speedy conclusion. Right. Yeah. And sometimes those things do not work out the way that we want them to. Our life in Christ is not that. We're not going to experience a 15 days until Jesus comes and be disappointed at the end. Jesus will come. And when he comes, we will go home and we will be with him forever. Just hold on until he comes. Thanks, everybody. We're going to sing a song now that speaks to the hope that we have. And I would encourage you to consider this hope in your everyday walk, that you would build your life on the solid rock that is Jesus.